Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Out of the Shadow Review.
Hello everyone, welcome to Sewer Sirens Podcast, a podcast focusing on all things Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Sit back with your host Brady David, grab a slice of pizza, and prepare for a turtle-rific slice of cowabunga, because it's time to start the show.
All right, 3, 2, 1.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Sewer Sirens Podcast.
We are back from hiatus. This is pretty exciting. Why are we back, David?
Because, you know, this little movie came out. I don't know if you heard about it.
Oh, that reminds me of the name of this most recent movie that came out, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Out of the Shadows, and that's what us, Sewer Sirens Podcast, we'll be reviewing today on our very last
episode. Wait, what's that movie? I haven't seen that one. I haven't seen that one yet.
Oh, yeah. Spoiler alert, he was sleeping during the whole movie.
Yeah, the whole movie. I didn't see it.
So, what do we want to tell before we get into it? First of all, we are going to be doing a spoiler review and a non-spoiler review. The non-spoiler review will be coming up first. And we saw the movie with a few friends who will be joining us near the middle, and we'll be hearing... And there was a snap from one of them, if you could hear. And so they will be joining us and telling us their opinion on this Ninja Turtles movie. But first, we want to talk non-spoilers between us. So should we get right into it, yeah. Or should... Do we have anything else to say about this being our last episode, or should we save that to the end?
No, I'm pretty good.
All right. Are you getting emotional?
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, listeners, last time we talked about David's hair color, do you remember what color it was last time we recorded?
It was probably pink.
Pink? All right. Well, now it's green for a special occasion, of course, this movie. So he dyed it just for this movie, and were you happy that you dyed it just for this movie, David? Were you satisfied by this movie? Were you happy about it?
I was happy that I dyed my hair.
Okay.
But Grady,
yes.
I need you to let me know what you think. First.
Okay, folks out there. if you haven't listened to our old review, what we did last movie was we had a no talking clause pretty much after seeing the movie. None of us talked about how we thought about the movie, what our reactions were, so we could come into this podcast fresh. So me and David haven't talked to each other. Our friends haven't really said anything other than a few words, adjectives to describe the movie. But so I don't know how David views it yet, and David doesn't know how I view it yet. And I want David to go first, because he gave me an adjective, but I gave him nothing.
No, you need to go first, because I did the intro. You got to do it.
Well. All right, I made like a few sentence notes on my reaction. Let's see what we have here. All right, well, overall, I came into this movie with pretty low expectations. I didn't expect much from it. Because, obviously, the last movie wasn't the greatest. And after finishing the movie, I walked out and I was like, man, that was a better Ninja Turtle movie than the last movie. But I enjoyed the last movie a lot better. And throughout the movie, I tried really hard to like it, but I was, like, trying to laugh at the jokes that were supposed to be funny, and I was trying to be receptive of it, but it just didn't have the Ninja Turtle feel that the comics and the TV show and the old movies have. So that's my quick overview. Basically, out of all the Ninja Turtle movies, I like it the least. Out of all of them.
Out of all of them?
Out of all of them.
What about, what is it called? The Last Mutation or whatever?
Well, that was a TV show.
Oh, yeah, okay.
But I will say, that was a TV show that was a lot like Power Rangers, and some of the stuff between two of the villains that I won't name right now reminded me of Power Rangers for some reason. One of my friends is over here shaking his head, so yes, we'll talk about that more later, I assume. So, David, What was your thoughts on the movie?
I thought it was a lot more Ninja Turtle-y, using it as an adjective, than the previous, but it wasn't as good as the first one.
Why do you say that?
There was a lot of, like, elements that they added in from, like, the comics and the original TV show that I liked, but not necessarily how they were done.
Uh-huh.
And honestly, it's really a movie geared towards younger audiences. I think we said that about the last one, too.
Yeah, definitely.
So some of the humor is, like, it doesn't really resonate with older audience and older fans of the franchise. So,
yeah, I feel like they were definitely trying to be nostalgic with everything, but I don't think it worked. Like, Star Wars did a really good job at being nostalgic and also being good in quality, but this one, like, some of the villains, I feel like, were more annoying to see on screen than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
And the turtles didn't, I don't know, it just didn't give me the normal, like, family kind of feel to it.
Yeah.
Is that, what did you kind of think about that dynamic?
What, like, that they were brothers or whatever?
Yeah.
I don't really know how to word it without
spoiling it.
But, yeah, basically what you said, it kind of didn't, like, work. They didn't work together very well.
What were your thoughts on the villains without spoiling them?
The villains, I feel like they didn't, like, really match their original character enough.
Uh-huh.
Like, they like, the voices were good, but, like, they'd made some of them a little too dumb, and they made some of them more powerful and not dumb enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Agreed. When I was watching the movie, I was, like, really trying to consider if this was really movie-worthy, like, definitely the storyline, because it was, like, I won't go too into it much now, but it really, I started viewing it more like, when I came out of the theater, I saw it as more like an extended episode of, like, one of the 1987 episodes, and it wasn't a extended episode, it wasn't a good extended episode, it was more like they took a crap extended episode and extended it to, like, in 2 hours, and so that was disappointing to see.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. What do you think the people in the theater thought about it?
Our theater was, mostly filled with a younger audience.
Yep.
They're quite loud at most parts of the movie.
Yep.
And, I could tell the jokes really, it made them laugh and stuff. I mean, obviously, not us, but...
Well, I feel like some of the jokes hit. Like, there was one really good one that sticks out. It was around... We'll talk about it more in spoilers, but it was around the Ninja Turtles' first confrontation with Casey. That was pretty good. But other than that, I feel like a lot of them fell flat.
Mm-hmm.
Were there any characters that...
I would...
Oh, go ahead.
Just a second. I would describe it as more dad jokes. Dad jokes-y.
Yeah, it was so weird. Like, it was the audience was meant to be kids, but then they have, like, Megan Fox in there, and that one scene in the beginning seems so out of place, and that's so, I feel like, un-April O'Neil to do, and so out of character. And so it's like, it's for the audience of younger kids, but then it's also trying to get older guys. It's just really confusing, and I don't feel like...
The sex appeal
is
there.
Yeah.
And April... It's not really spoilery, but April O'Neil as a character has never really been that much of, like, you know, a sex icon in the franchise.
Yeah, definitely not. And I feel like feel like casting Megan Fox was their... That was their only reason, and that's kind of disappointing for the character, and because I would say April O'Neil is a really strong female character, and that I don't feel like Megan Fox really portrays that accurately, and obviously the script would need to help her a lot with that. Were there any characters for you that, like, stood out that you were impressed by?
I think they did a lot better on Raph this time around.
Yeah, I agree. What did you like better, without spoiling
it? He matched, like, he was one of the characters that I could tell that matched his actual character better. Mm. Like, from, like, not necessarily the original series, but more like 2003.
Yeah.
And he was more independent than the last movie. In the last movie, he kind of just did what everybody else did.
Yeah.
And he didn't have that rebel dynamic that they brought out in this one. So I really did like that.
Yeah, it was more like, instead of, like, just hating Leo, just to hate Leo just because he was the leader, it was more like he had a reason, and I mean, Raphael's my favorite character, but I would say Raphael had more right reasoning. He eventually gets in an argument about Leo, we'll talk about what later, but I feel like he had good reasoning, and I don't think Leo really thought things through as much. The character I was most impressed with, I feel like, maybe not that I liked the most, but that I was most impressed with, was Stephen Amell's Casey Jones, just because I thought he would be playing it a lot like Arrow, and I thought he would be, like, super dark and just, like, depressing, and it was interesting to see a lighter side of him, but I'm not necessarily saying he met my standards for Casey Jones and was as good as he should have been and that they should have cast him, but I do think he did better than I thought he would do, which was nice to see.
Yeah, I think he mixed it well with, like stereotypical New Yorker and with, like, the character as well.
Yeah, anything else you want to say, not in spoiler. I mean, yeah, non-spoilers for anyone who hasn't seen the movie yet. Would you suggest seeing it?
I would suggest seeing it just to, you know, get, like, story arc for, like, if they make another one, which they probably will. I would assume, but it was an okay movie. It had a lot more, like, a little bit more, like, nostalgia factor than, like, the first one, because it has, like, more of the iconic characters. But then, again, with, like, them bringing them in, it might piss a lot of people off that they weren't portrayed correctly. Yeah. So, I would say I'd leave it up to your discretion whether you'd like to see it or not, whether you'd like to support,
Michael Bay
and, you know, making more of these movies.
Yeah.
Or if you'd not want to do that, so.
Yeah. I walked in, like, expecting to like the nostalgic stuff, but I walked out of the theater crossing my fingers that they would not continue sequels, and that in a few years we would get a comic-accurate reboot. So, for me, I would suggest seeing it on Redbox when Michael Bay makes very minimal money from your viewing. So, that is my comments. And anything else, non-spoilers?
I think that's good.
Alright, so spoiler time. And I'm gonna pause it real quick, and we'll be back with our friends. So, we have a few of our friends on. Their names are Brady.
Hello.
And Tucker.
Yo.
Yo, yo, yo. Alright, so they're here, and on a level from 1 to 10, how well would you say you know the Ninja Turtle franchise?
I'm gonna be honest with you guys. I don't know that much. But what I do know is the basics. Okay. Don't be a hater.
Okay, but...
the question was, 1 out of 10?
Yeah, 1 to 10. 1 to 10. How would you rate your Ninja Turtles knowledge? Just give us a number.
3.
3?
All right. Solid.
I don't know. I'd probably have to say 4 or 5. I know, like, all the Turtles, obviously. I know Shredder. I know Splinter. And I know how, like... Leo and Raph always fight, and I was always interested in, like, the most, okay, because I saw,
so
the,
you're a plebeian fool.
Yeah. Ooh. I am a plebeian fool. So what was the one, the cartoon, not a cartoon, it was animated.
2003?
Yeah. I watched that one. I really liked that one. I had a Game Boy game, and I was always interested. I watched some of the TV show, and me and my brothers would always, like, pretend to be one of them. I was always Mikey. You know, he's the best, obviously.
Wrong.
Okay. But, You're entitled to your opinion. I'd say my knowledge is pretty basic, like Brady here. So, okay, so don't judge.
I rate Tucker a plebeian fool out of
10. Okay. So, Brady, did you have any experience with the Ninja Turtles in your childhood? Like Tucker?
Well, I usually hung out with Tucker, and we used to watch it all the time, every now and then, like the anime movie from 2005?
2007, yeah. Fist bump, David. Turtle podcast forever.
Wait, I'm so confused. What is 2007? You said it was 2003.
No. 2003 is the cartoon.
Oh, no, I meant the movie from 2007. Oh, and I watched some of the TV show, but mostly that, yeah.
So anyway, the reason we have these two on is because me and David know a lot more about the Ninja Turtles than them. So we're kind of getting the more, and I'm sorry about this term, but the more simpletons kind of view on the movie.
We need a more balanced perspective.
Yeah, just like every day at the movies, that's where they're going.
Can you change the term simpleton to film experienced major film viewer looker person?
Well, that's very complicated. We'll try.
We're gonna have to make it a
friend. We'll put in the title featuring film guy person critic Brady.
No. I want the
and then bleep out his last name. All right. Well, we'll work with that in post. All right. So anyway, how would you guys like to talk about this movie first?
You didn't ask Tucker if it had an impact.
Oh, did it have an impact on your childhood?
I think it did. I did like the Ninja Turtles. I just didn't get into all the comics and the TV shows like my fellow friends here have done. So my knowledge is very basic, but I was always interested.
As for me, I just enjoyed watching it like any other cartoon. It was fun. Anyways. What are we going with rating right now?
I guess we could. We should, instead of 1 to 10, we should make, like, levels of bad to good. We should make 5 levels.
5 levels of pizza.
But then we would have to figure out what the levels of pizza.
Out of 5 slices of goodness.
Oh, yes. There we go.
5 slices of goodness. How good was this movie?
I'd give this movie maybe a 2... and a crust slices out of 5.
So
slices.
It's like 2.5, kind of? 2.25?
Maybe 2.25. I mean, the crust is the best part, so maybe like 2 2/3.
Debatable.
But, you know, yeah.
Wait, question. What is a 5 for you and what is a 1 for you? Just so the listeners kind of know what your interests are.
Let's see, 5.
I think we all know your 5.
Star Wars / Inception.
Star Wars what episode?
Or The Dark Knight.
Episode
what episode?
One, of
5, 6, or 7. Kind of 3. And 4 too. Just not 1 and 2.
Okay. Anyway, so Brady, what would you give this movie?
For me, 5 slices of goodness would be either a movie like Jurassic Park or Inception or like something.
What would a 1 be?
Fanforestick.
What would it be 1 for you?
I wouldn't say Fantastic Four because that was a 0.
Oh, okay.
A 1 would be like, you know, you're gonna have to get back to me on that one.
All right. So Brady, out of 1 to 5 pizzas, slices of goodness.
Of goodness. Okay.
Correct.
I'd give it 2 out of 5 slices of moldy pizza. Okay, and tell us why. Why is the pizza moldy? The pizza is moldy because it's oversaturated with too many items of goodness that end up overstuffing the pizza and making it soggy, old, and moldy.
So you're saying this movie is old and moldy?
I'm saying it has too much nostalgia. You heard it here first, folks. The movie is moldy. Physically.
And it just came out, but it's old.
I mean, that's what we have
for. Well, we could either do this A, by walking through it from start to finish and just talking about our thoughts from start to finish, or we could just rattle off. I think it's more productive if we just go from start to finish. That's what we did last time.
Let's do that.
All right. You guys ready?
Okay. Yeah, I am.
All right. So we start off, and it's like it's like an aerial view of the city, and the Ninja Turtles are doing their thing. They're doing their chipmunk squirrel flips thing. They hit the, like, the weird thing. I don't know what it's called, but if you saw
sewer.
Yeah, they hit the sewers. They're back to the sewers, and to the screens, and they're heading down the sewers. Oh
yeah,
because they go to the basketball
game.
They're
in the vents.
First were in the vents, and then this is the moment I realized this is going to be a movie targeted towards kids. It was like, Leo, the leader. And they're all, like, passing around the pizza, trying to steal it from each other. And it was, like, Raph, the brute, or whatever.
Well, why do you think that's for kids, though? Well,
no, okay. I like that.
Like, yeah, here's the thing, it was, like, helpful.
That kind of,
but
like,
it was one of those things, like, would you see that in, like, a movie that's, like, in Teenage Mutant, the first Teenage Mutant?
Well, they do that kind of stuff in, like, Quentin Tarantino movies, you know? They have, like,
and, like, Creed?
Captions.
And, like, Creed?
True, Creed.
And Creed was a great movie.
Yeah, so
Creed was
Brady, really good, Brady, though. Tell me, is Creed geared toward children?
I think that's what he's implying, David. I think that's what he's implying.
What is this, a roast fest towards me?
Also, quantum.
Yes.
Oh.
Obviously.
All right. So.
Can we go off the face of Earth?
So, is there anything, David, that you remember that. Have the Ninja Turtles ever been interested in basketball? I swear I cannot remember a single moment where they've been interested in basketball.
No, but, you know, the Knicks got a pretty good promotion. So what had happened, ladies and gentlemen, is, so, you know, they're doing their thing, doing all their cool ninja flips, going through the city, and then they go through, like, these vents, and, you know, it, like, does that little intro part, and then they pop out, and they grab a pizza, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Pizza's the staple.
Exactly.
Staple of the series.
Mm-hmm.
And then you think, oh, this is gonna be great. This is gonna be good. And then, so happens that they go to the Knicks game, and they're in the Jumbotron.
Oh, yep. Directly in the middle, watching from above.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And they eat pizza.
Yep.
So, I don't know why they like basketball so much now, but they do.
Yeah. So what do you guys think of that premise, that they had to get the Knicks in there in the movie somehow, so they brought the Ninja Turtles to a basketball game.
Well, all I know, it has the best punchline. They drop the pizza, and then one of the players slips on the pizza.
DeAndre Jordan, for all you, I don't know if anyone knows who that is.
And then he screams at the ref, "There's pizza on my Nikes!"
He didn't say shoe. He said, "There's pizza on my Nikes." Over and over, he says,
"No,
there's pizza."
It would have been
Nikes.
Worse if he was like, "There's Pizza Hut pizza pepperoni slice number 5 on my Nikes."
Number 5.
Okay, yeah.
I think from a movie perspective, if you're trying to reach a wider audience, I think that was the right move, because maybe more people who are more attracted to sports would be like, "Wow, that's kind of cool." Like, you know, I know the
DeAndre
Knicks.
DeAndre Jordan.
And like, also, I feel like as being a plebeian fool, I would assume that teenagers would enjoy going to a basketball game.
Mm-hmm.
So I felt like that followed the storyline correctly, but obviously compared to the comics, it does not. So, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like it was just a way for them to try to get more people to go see it in the theater.
I don't know. Was it a marketing tool? I feel like Knicks must have paid them, you know?
Yeah, possibly, because I think they kind of advertised that whatever that guy, Will Arnett talks to him later in the movie.
Yeah.
I don't know that
but
guy's name.
It was a transparent
Carmelo Anthony?
Yeah, Carmelo Anthony!
One of the greatest.
It was a transparent marketing tactic when the pizza was on his shoe and he says, "Not my Nike!
Pizza on my Nike!"
The Carmelo Anthony, by the way, he is also in an upcoming issue of New Animated Ninja Turtle Adventure Comics, which is based off of the Nickelodeon show, if you wanted to check that out. It's probably not that great. I haven't been keeping up with that series.
Is that a product placement? Within a product placement?
You know, maybe people are paying me secretly. Anyway, so there's the spitball. They're goofing around and spitballing Will Arnett, which I guess I didn't mind. But the thing is, like, from when they showed it from the top, I swear he was, like, facing away from them, so it should have hit the back of the neck.
Yeah, yeah.
And then when it was shot and it hit his face.
Because he was courtside, like, in the corner, and like,
yeah,
they were in the middle on the Jumbotron. So any direction, they would have shot him in the back.
Yeah.
Okay, so they have this spitball machine thingy. They're like, "Oh, let's spit in the back
laser
of the head."
Laser guided
like,
spitballs.
They're like, "Okay, it's okay, we made a deal with them. He's supposed to take all the fame. But we're mad at him for making that deal with them. Yeah. So we're going to spit him in the face and make fun of him on public TV.
Well, I think they were more playing on that they're teenagers and teenagers are dumb.
That's what I was thinking.
Teenagers are indeed dumb.
It was so pointless.
We can speak for that from experience.
Yeah, I think that's what Michael Bay or whoever directed this
movie. Whomever.
It's a secret.
Yeah, I think they're more playing on that mm-hmm. they're like stupid teenagers and they don't really get some certain concepts, you know.
What did you think about how they kind of did, like, hey, this is what happened in the last movie a year ago, this blah, 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 and it kind of caught you up. Did you like that or did you not like that?
I don't recall when that happened.
That was like, it was
on the Jumbotron.
Yeah.
It was like,
oh, okay, yeah.
It was right after, like, when are we ever going to get, whatever,
credit.
Yeah, they're like, y'all, we need some credits, man. And then on the Drumbotron, it's like, 1 year ago, Shredder tried to take over the city. And Will Arnett
and then the audience is booing him.
Stopped him.
Was the audience booing
him? Shredder.
Yeah. Oh, Shredder. I thought they were booing Will Arnett. No.
Okay.
I like the Will Arnett thing. I thought it was funny. Mm-hmm. But, like, the spitball thing kind of went on.
In the first movie,
long.
I did not like Will Arnett. I didn't like his character. I didn't think he was that funny.
I liked him better this movie.
In this movie, I, like, think I laughed at two of his jokes. That is a huge improvement.
Well, because Will Arnett is, like pretty much, like, a comedian. He always plays, like, comedy roles, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's kind of weird seeing him in, like, a more serious, like, in the first movie. Like slightly more serious.
I understand.
Oh, I thought you were talking about this movie. Like, in a serious, I thought you were about to say serious movie.
Well,
like
he's
this.
Playing it, his character is more serious, and I feel like he plays in more serious things. Uh-huh. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And his character that he's based off of is so, like
goofy.
Like, yeah, goofy is the word I was going to use. And yeah, he's just very.
There's another character that's like exactly like that, but we'll get into that towards the end.
Yeah, yeah. But he was in the not in the comics, but he was in the 1987 series as Vernon Fenwick. So then after so they drop the pizza, then they have to get out of there quick because their cover's kind of blown.
Okay. All right. So let me tell you about this next scene here.
If we're thinking about the same scene, I like this part, but go ahead.
No, the scene that's
the scene you hate
directly after this, or in the midst of all this that's happening.
Yeah.
Donnie gets a special
ring.
This
is stupid.
On his phone. And it's none other than the one, the only, April O'Neil.
Megan Fox!
Yeah, Megan Fox. Apparently she's wearing a wig. I don't know why she had to wear a wig.
Well, the thing is, she's a reporter, so I guess maybe he would have.
Why didn't she have to take it off?
Why couldn't she just have talked to him as a reporter, though? But I guess maybe she didn't want to, like, throw him off or something.
She didn't want to seem like she was snooping.
I don't know. Basically, she's like, calling him up, and she's like, yo, my mans. This Baxter Stockman guy, he's looking pretty shady, alright? And we've been hearing that he's kind of trying to do this thing, but I don't know what it is. And then Donnie's like, well, why don't you hack into his email? And she's like, I can't get close enough or something. And so he's like, you gotta get in with like 5 feet of like their device. And so she sees the one, the only Baxter Stockman walk in the room, and she's like, all right, it's go time. So Megan Fox in her blonde wig and quote-unquote nerd glasses.
And she touched every second.
Yeah. She walked up to him and is like, hey, I love you so much. You're Baxter Stockman.
And he loves hearing it. He's just like, tell me more. He's like, sit down and talk
and,
about me more.
And also, if you didn't know, Baxter Stockman is Tyler Perry. A.K.A. Medea, crazy old grandma lady.
Which, I feel, even if Baxter may have not been comic accurate and may have not been... Well, I feel like, okay, Baxter in the original comics was very crazy, and I feel like Tyler Perry did it pretty well.
Like, I actually liked Baxter. He was one of the better characters in the movie.
And one of my favorite parts of Tyler Perry's Baxter is Tucker's over here eating chicken and a biscuit.
You cannot eat during this.
Do you know what's better than chicken?
You can't. Respect of listeners.
You literally cannot eat.
I'll stop. All right. Anyway, so So Tyler Perry did a good job, and one of my favorite parts about his Baxter was his laugh. Like, every time it just made me laugh.
Threw me off.
Yeah. I don't know. It was just fun to hear. But anyway, I feel like Megan Fox actually did the most acting. Like, her nerd wasn't that great, but it seemed like she was actually trying to do a nerd, which was impressive. It was impressive when she was trying, and I will applaud her efforts, even though I don't think they were good.
And the other half of the time, I will cringe in terror at her acting skills.
Well, I don't blame you there. And so then what happened, David?
Okay, so then she has this, watch that Donnie gave her, and supposedly it can hack anything, you know, at, the obviously, speed of light.
Yeah.
Obviously, that's a thing. why wouldn't it be?
I mean, it's Donnie.
Yeah. So, it's going up, and, the percent, it's, 1%, 2%, and then it's, up to, 50%, and then she's just trying to talk to him, and then his assistant comes by, and he's like, oh, I gotta take your iPad for some reason, and so...
And her thing was, at 60%, it was going racking up fast.
Yeah.
All she could have done is been, hey, what's your name? Or, walk
or
in...
Or stopped him from...
Yeah, or, grabbed his wrist and be like, oh,
yeah.
How's it going? Starts flirting with him. It literally would have needed, one
minute. No, but you'll understand why that didn't happen in the second year. So basically, what happened...
That's what I can just... Every time Brady speaks up, in this weird voice, I just picture, that's how Michael Bay thinks. So just, in that...
That's exactly what I'm going for.
It's just, this little snippets of words. It's just, we need this in every
I can just
movie.
See the director.
Well, is that... So is that Mike...
Michael Bay...
Is that Michael Bay or is that Megan Fox?
No.
I want to show my...
Hold on.
So is that Michael Bay or is that Megan Fox? Is it just Megan Fox saying, I want to show my boobs? Or is it Michael Bay saying...
You think she walks on set and was like, all right, what scene do you have for me today?
I don't know. I mean, I feel like most Megan Fox roles have a lot of that stuff.
I feel like that's because the directors that cast her because of that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because her acting doesn't hold up at all.
It's subpar, to say
at
the
best.
Least.
Yeah.
Do you know what I see? I can just picture the set right now. It's the director. He's like, Mr. Bay, what do you want me to do? And he's like breathing right over his shoulder. Show her stomach. Okay. Okay, you're going on this scene, you're going to tighten up your shirt? Pull it up a little bit and walk. And
what I don't understand
and
is like
her hand somehow. Her hand
yeah.
disappeared after she walked.
Well, wait.
So true.
Tucker, wait.
So
we have more to say about this, definitely. But.
So the iPad thing is getting away. So she's like, well, let me just take off my clothes. So she just walks up to this this kiosk and grabs grabs a mini skirt.
Okay, we're cutting all this out because you need to let me tell the what's going on first.
All right, just go ahead.
Okay. So, this assistant, he's, walking off with his iPad, and instead of doing, any logical thing, she's like, oh, I'm getting a call on my phone, and then Baxter Stockman's like, oh, who is it? And she's like, oh, it's my boyfriend. Totally shuts this guy down, and he's like, you can feel, the pain in Baxter Stockman's voice. He's like,
oh,
don't you all. And it was like, dang, that's so heartless. It felt like that.
That was the most realistic part of the whole movie.
So she is like, okay, I'm gonna go take this call, but really she's trying to follow the iPad dude. So she's like running, certain body parts are bouncing, for the sex appeal.
The hair.
Yeah, the hair.
Yeah. I mean, what else would you do?
So she's running through. It's in a train station or something. I didn't really catch what it was.
I think it was a train. No, wasn't it a museum?
It was somewhere that had a bar, and then it seemed like a mall kind of thing.
Yeah.
It was an unspecified, mysterious location.
If they said it, we didn't notice where it was.
It was probably Area 51. We don't know where it was.
But basically, she's running down these stairs to follow this guy, and she can't get a signal, and so she sees all these like schoolgirls,
scandalous,
like if you've seen like you know Japanese schoolgirl type outfits, you know what I'm saying, all you audience out there. So she's like, oh, well, obviously the best solution is not to just get up close and follow him and maybe talk to him. The obvious solution is to strip down, put on this, steal from this kiosk, grab a mini skirt, and, you know, turn this shirt into a... What is it? A crop top?
I don't know. It was so dumb.
But basically, what she does is do the dumbest thing possible... And decide not to be innovative, but finds the first chance she can to be as questionable as she can for no reason. To just blend in with people, even though she could just go say, hey, what's Baxter Stockman's number? I want to call him sometime to the assistant dude.
Or just act like the same character and be like, hey.
Flirt with him.
Or yeah. Something. Like, you don't... Just take off the wig, at least, if you're going to change anything. Take off the wig and glasses if you really want to change.
Yeah, I don't know what the point of the wig was.
I don't know. I just... Oh,
yeah, not like he would know her.
She gets it downloaded, right?
Yeah.
So, now we gotta skip ahead a little
bit. Wait. I remember what... Okay, so basically she calls Donatello back and's like, I've been searching for these files, but they're all getting deleted right away. And he's like, oh no, that's terrible. It's okay, I read the first two, and it says that he's trying to release a convict. Who? Oh no, it's Shredder.
Yep, so then it goes to Shredder kind of being loaded up with two guys named Bebop and Rocksteady, and they're like, hey, I'm
Bebop. Yeah, who's that?
Hey, yeah, I'm Bebop. Oh
gosh.
I'm Rocksteady.
When I saw the trailers, I thought they were going to be really cool, and, like, I just wanted them to, like, fight, because I was, like, giant rhino and a giant warthog, like, that's so sick. But I thought that they were very annoying in this movie, I thought. Maybe that's just what they are in the comics or TV shows, cartoons. But I just thought they were really annoying.
Well, the thing is, I don't have a soft spot for Bebop and Rocksteady, because I didn't grow up in the 1980s mm-hmm. with the 1987 cartoon. But when you look back at the 1987 cartoon, they are pretty stupid, and they're dumb, and they really aren't helpful. They're just kind of just really buff and stuff. So I guess they were accurate, but it would have been nice to see something else, because it wasn't enjoyable to see them on screen.
Well, what I think is if they're going to add people like that, they should have them, like, fight, but they barely did any, like, fighting, so, like... It's like, why am I watching this? Why are they here?
Or maybe it just wasn't engaging fighting, because they had, eventually, the airplane scene.
The airplane,
actually, that scene was really cool, though.
No, they barely, because like, it was just them, it was just focusing on, like, the little device thing, and they were trying to get it around, and then you can't really, they're not really even focusing on the fighting.
The only really, like, fight scene that they had was in, like, there was, like, the final, like,
with
where they're trying to get, like, the, break the teleporter or whatever, and, you know... They, like, chase Casey a little bit, but they don't really fight
him. No, there was, like, I think, like, 20 seconds of them, like, throwing fists.
At nothing.
At nothing. Like, no fist even, like, hit nobody. They're like, dodge, 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 dodge.
And then the best part about that scene is,
When it ended.
The rhino runs through a perfectly aligned row of cars.
And they all explode as Casey's running through.
Actually, that looks pretty cool. I'm not going to
lie.
It was so dumb.
It obviously looked cool. Michael Bay's effects are on point. But, you know, there's just, like, two, like, rows in, like, the middle of, like, this parking garage. Just two rows of, like, perfectly parked cars, and they're, like, nice cars, and they just blow up, as the rhino runs through.
Where was this teleportation device, actually? Like, where was all this evil stuff located?
It wasn't at TCRI.
No, it was some warehouse, I think, on the second
like,
side.
But there was a bunch of cars. Was this some, like, random parking lot? Like, hey, this parking convict, no one will see all of our evil technology stuff. And
I mean, that might have been the parking lot for TCRI, right?
Maybe.
Wasn't it NPC?
No, because Will Arnett went back, remember, when that was happening. They weren't there.
Oh, yeah.
Is this a plot hole? So, basically, at the end, the Technodrome is... I know we'll get back to some of the other earlier stuff, but the Technodrome has formed out of the portal. It's about to shoot a beam at the city, but the portal generator is in the city, so if it shoots the beam at the city, it's going to destroy the portal generator, correct?
I didn't get that whole thing. Why did first of all, if they shut down the portal, then why did they still go through it? And then also, what was that thing, that red thing that Mikey grabbed that they were following? I didn't get what happened.
Well, the thing is...
Like, it had to, like, build somewhere.
Yeah.
So, like, there was this, like, beacon that, like, it... Like, so if you... He threw it out of the thing, or, like, they used a drone to, like, carry it out of the thing, and then all the parts, like, disassembled and followed that.
Mm. Just so think of that thing as, like, a magnet.
Yeah, it's basically, like, telling it, oh, okay, don't build it over here now, build it over there.
Got it.
And then with this 3D hoverboard portal skateboard thingy, he threw it into the portal.
Portal.
All right. Okay, so all right. Was that... Now is it Shredder? Oh, we gotta talk about
Rewind
Shredder.
Rewind a little bit.
No, Shrek is...
Yeah, so, I said yeah. Shredder.
What do you guys think... What did you guys think about that escape scene? So, riding down the road, when Shredder's in the jail cell, and, like, Casey's driving, because he's a police officer?
Yeah, we didn't even mention that. All right, why is he a police officer?
Okay, while we were recording on non-spoiler, Tucker... When I was commenting on Casey Jones... Tucker and Brady were both giving me judgmental looks about Casey Jones, so let's hear about why they hated Casey Jones, and go.
Okay, first off, Steve... Wait, how do you pronounce his name?
Casey Jones, or
Stephen
Amell?
No, the actor. Stephen Amell?
Yeah. Stephen Amell.
Stephen Amell.
Okay.
It's
I don't want
like,
to get roasted for saying it wrong.
Spelled like Stephen, but I'm almost positive it's Stephen.
It's Stephen.
I'm just going to call him Mr. Amell. All
right, Mr. Amell it is.
Okay, so Mr. Amell, we all know him for Arrow and stuff, and he's all serious, like, you have failed this city.
Uh-huh.
But in this movie, when you first meet him, he's all, like, weird. Like, one of those weird guys you see in the corner of the classroom, like, hi, guys, I'm fun, like me. And so,
okay. you're talking about like how we're gonna roast you all the time, and then
like I'm
you
afraid.
Just start
okay, no,
yourself.
I'm afraid of you guys roasting me. So I'm like, gotta beat him to it.
All right, well,
okay.
We're not gonna roast you, but go ahead.
Take it out. Cut it out.
I felt like Casey Jones was very. He just seemed like a really cheesy character. I haven't watched Arrow, so I don't really know him that well, but. Also, I don't know why, but Stephen Amell's voice just doesn't seem to match his, like, face or body. Like, he just has a really high voice for what you would assume. And I don't know, I just felt like his motive for wanting to catch Bebop and Rocksteady was just dumb.
Yeah,
I don't really get why he cared so much. And, I thought he could have been a lot better.
He mentioned why.
He seemed really lame.
He mentioned why, but only,
lame.
Like, two times. It was, so, like, there was no...
reputation back.
He was like... I want to be a detective.
Yeah, no.
Which has never happened in the comics, if I'm...
Like, he just,
accurate.
Like, for some reason, he's like, oh, my whole police career rests on me finding these two guys, because I'm gonna be a detective someday.
And how he was introduced to, like, the whole group was just kind of like, what? Like, because Megan Fox was just, like, getting attacked by the foot clan. Or whatever, and he was just like, hey, and then he was just, you know, he was there. He's like, what's up? I'm going to hit these guys with hockey pucks.
There was kind of a dad joke that I kind of liked, though, from the movie. When there's, like, the bar scene, and, like, if you've seen the movie, you know what I'm talking about. But, like, they're, like, Bebop and Rocksteady, they're, like, still humans in this part, and they're, like, at this bar, and they're, like, joking, and they're like, the Foot Clan, if we run it, we're gonna have a whole Leg Clan.
I didn't even catch that.
Oh, yeah, I didn't even either.
I would have laughed at that if I would have heard that.
It was... I thought it was pretty fun.
Did we accidentally skip that? Are we there yet? No, we're
not
there
yet.
Okay, so anyway.
We get to the escape scene.
Okay, so the escape scene, what do you guys think about it?
Things I liked.
Wait, favorite part? Oh my God. Favorite part and least favorite part. Go.
Things I liked. I loved the turtle van or whatever you call it.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Like the dumpster truck. How it's going around. They're like, okay, shoot the sewer top thingies. Uh-huh. And they're like,
manhole covers.
Ooh. Yeah, okay.
It's all right.
And then they're like, okay, now pull out the metal arms that move and round. So nice. And they're like,
for one solid minute.
And Monkey's like, this is so cool. And Donatello's like, I know, to break right?
I like that part. I like that
no,
part.
No, that was kind of funny. I didn't like, so funny. I wish, it was funny, but I wish he would have used them because
he
the
did
one
use
thing
them.
That barely, for like, he destroyed two things. No, that's why I'm saying he shouldn't have, because like, the one thing that they this movie has going for it is that people are going to watch it for the action and like the crazy effects. And then he gets these super cool like robotic arms off the side of this thing with giant nunchucks. I'm like, yes, he's going to like do stuff. And then he just hits two motorcycles and then proceeds to brakes them.
Proceeds to brakes them.
So I didn't like that. Yeah, that was, used them.
That was one moment in this movie that definitely like started... we apologize.
The demon returns.
Okay. Anyway, I don't know.
This house is possessed.
I don't know if you heard that, listeners.
What
but
the...
Yeah, that was Michael Bay.
That was Michael Bay
us.
Judging us.
Anyway, so that was one, like the nunchuck moment was one moment where like it built up anticipation and it was gonna be really funny. When all of a sudden, boom, the music stops and it's like interrupted by something like funny that kind of interrupts the like impactful anticipation.
Oh, yeah,
yeah, yeah. I feel like that's good to a point. I feel like in this movie, I noticed a lot of those moments, like to the point where it was a little too much. Like, Tucker, you remember the part where you're like, I love this song? And it was like...
They started playing Spirit in the Sky, and then they never even
and
finished
it. It was during that scene where they started the song, and then I felt like they had this...
It was going to go into, like, a montage.
Yeah, and I felt like they had this weird, like, stop the music real quick for, like, nothing that justified it.
Wasn't it, like, the ninjas breaking out of the door, and then that's when they stopped the music?
I felt it was just, like, they had, like, some random, like, comment, like, roast of Will Arnett, and the music just stopped. And I'm like, that wasn't even worthy of, like, stopping the music at all. And, I don't know, some of them worked. Like, I think the nunchuck worked, but I think other moments like that, where it was building it up and then stopped the music to make a funny moment, I feel like it didn't work as well.
And was it me... Or were there too many, like, pop culture songs? Like, one scene started a pop culture song, then the next scene they play another pop culture song, like, right away.
Please define pop culture song.
I meant, like, any hip song. Like, they played Ice Baby. Then I'm pretty sure, like, the next scene they start playing Spirit in the Sky.
Well, you know why they play Ice Baby, right?
Vanilla. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't.
Vanilla
Okay, Brady, give me a summary.
Vanilla Ice was in...
Yeah, Brady,
let's have Brady. I'm trying to sound hip.
Vanilla Ice was in Ninja Turtles a long time ago, so they brought him back. Anyway, so we're still at the scene where Shredder escapes. You said you liked which parts, Brady, and then didn't like other parts. You didn't say
okay.
What you didn't like yet.
What I don't like, the Foot Clan, I do not like. I didn't like them the last movie, and I feel like they tried to redesign them, make them look more like ninjas in this movie. But they're like, we're ninjas. We're just going to flip over this table. Then we're just going to run in pure, like...
Yeah, the outfits were improved from last movie, but I still did not like them at all. They looked too, like, armor-ish and too, like, formal.
Do they even fight?
They kind of look like,
they went out like punks.
Non-glowy Tron outfits.
Yeah, I can see that. Especially Karai's outfit looks so gross, which is...
Who's Karai?
Karai is Shredder's daughter. Yeah,
Shredder's daughter.
Oh yeah, but
she was like, you know, at the end, like she
that one girl who looked like a Power Ranger.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
And she got hit over the head with a computer.
Okay,
then,
literally most like useless character in the entire movie.
She stood there, and at the end, they like go to the portal.
She got hit by a computer.
She's a ninja. There are two people that know nothing about fighting.
Yeah,
one is a reporter. One is a cameraman.
Yeah,
and she has a mini katana.
Sword.
She has a mini katana, so and they just destroy.
They throw a chair at her, like, and then Megan Fox hits her with the computer, and then that's it.
You know what would have been really interesting though, if they would have had
killed Will Arnett.
Yeah. No. If they would have had Casey go against Karai, and they have like a legit fight scene,
that's
like
what I was
hockey versus,
for.
And then April and Will Arnett like totally goof off with Rocksteady and
Bebop. Yeah, that would have been way better.
And they're like driving cars and like ramming into them.
All four of them are idiots.
Yeah, exactly. And they're so inexperienced. And then just idiot versus idiot. And then it would be so comical to watch, but it could you could actually do a lot with that.
Yeah.
And
also, when Will Arnett just like jumped into a ninja and then fell down.
And then later they like go up to fight Karai and they're like, oh no, she has a sword. We don't have one. Like you easily could have like, I thought they were going to Star Wars it and like take like the ninja guy's outfit and like stealth, you know?
Yeah, but instead like, they just walked up to her.
And fought her.
Like
and
I feel won. Like I feel like that, 2 seconds. I feel like that's what they wanted to do. They wanted like them to Star Wars it because like them like attacking that ninja had like nothing to do with anything. They could have easily just walked past him because they were above him.
Anyway, so back to this escape scene. Do you approve?
Okay, we're just gonna do like people. Just
tell what happens.
People that are. This is for people that have seen the movie.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Pretty much. So right. we're not gonna like describe what happens.
Just what did
anymore.
You really
just
quick,
what do you think?
Yeah, what do you think? I really liked it. I shouldn't say really liked it. It was not one of my worst action sequences from the movie. I was interested from start to finish, I would say. Having Casey Jones as a cop kind of threw me off during it. But I really like how it's escalated to, like, the helicopter at the end, and had the portal.
The teleportation?
The teleportation was probably one of my favorite parts in the movie, just because I did not see it coming at all, which led to one of my worst parts in the movie.
I can't believe we have even mentioned
that. So, basically, after that, Shredder teleports to, like, Krang's office or whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever is going on. I don't know if he's in the Technodrome.
Hello, welcome to Krang's
office. I don't know.
How we meet
but
service.
Basically, he's like, you know how you love Krang because in like the old show, because he's like the comic relief guy, you know? Shredder's like the super evil, like BA guy that like does everything, and he's super like ninja, and he's like, ooh!
yeah. That's literally David just did the 2003 soundtrack for Shredder's theme. There you go.
Yeah. So basically, they have Krang like be Shredder in this movie.
Uh-huh.
Like he is like the super smart alien from the future. That wants to destroy the Earth.
Wait, is he like really lame or
like
really
okay,
bad at
he's supposed to be like a dumb like
what?
Comic relief.
I
character.
Thought that okay, he's see now like, I can give you a perspective from someone who doesn't know.
Alright.
I thought he would have been like one of the most powerful. Like he just seems all knowing
well,
and like
in 2003 they had a different kind of Krang.
Yeah.
Which was Shredder was Krang.
Yeah, the ultimate plot, the what coolest the plot twist.
And, spoiler alert.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was I liked that in the 2003. Mm-hmm. But like, that's when Krang would like, they're like smaller, and they have this in the new one too. I think.
Yeah, the more Nickelodeon show.
And like, basically, it's a smaller version of the original Krang, and he's like more evil. And he's, like, Shredder-ish, you know?
But in the, like, 1987 series, basically he was, like, a cranky manager who delegated everything. He was like, oh, we need to take over the world.
Yeah.
Shredder, go to this for me. Or, like, take the bumbling idiots, Bebop and Rocksteady. And then they would never win. And then they would go back to Lair and they would be like, we'll be back. Which is pretty much a good summary of this movie.
Fly back into the portal?
He acted like a mastermind in like, but he never really was like smart. In this movie, he's like, I know everything.
And I don't know why. Did they even explain why he was taking over the world?
No. He said he likes toys, he says, the Almighty Krang is going to blah, 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 blah. Here, do this.
Like, he acted like Shredder, like, knew him for some reason.
Yeah. And
he was not introduced at all. You don't know anything about him.
And
you
his
don't know
voice.
What.
I hate his voice
oh
so much.
His voice, like, from the second I heard it, I was like, it's the polar opposite of the cartoon series.
Mm-hmm. Krang's voice, wasn't feeling it.
Mm. I definitely agree. I feel like it was way too deep, and it should have been more like, I feel like I agree with you, David. It should have been more like comic relief more. I feel like he still could have been a cool villain, but not just, like, I feel like they try to make him too serious and too one-dimensional.
With a voice that doesn't match that personality.
Yeah, at all.
And a design that's probably way too disgusting for kids.
It, you know what his voice reminded me of? It reminded me of Davy Jones from Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah, and little tentacles made you think of it, too.
Yeah, they made, like, the same, like, tentacle noise thing, too.
Except for it was, like, super high.
He was just really... I did not like him at all.
And
he...
Go ahead.
He was a plebeian.
I just think that for the main villain, he was barely even in the movie. He was in it for that one scene with Shredder, and then he came at the end and for some reason double-crossed Shredder and froze him.
And Shredder didn't see it coming
at
all.
For no reason at all. I don't know why even... They were even
like these,
up.
Like, giant arms come out of the ground, and it's like, Shredder, I'm going to betray you. And he's like... What? And slowly gets frozen.
And he puts him in with all of his toys.
Yeah.
And every time I saw Shredder with Krang, I just thought of Power Rangers for some reason. And I never used to watch Power Rangers
well,
a lot.
Well, you're wrong, Grady.
I just, the suit for the Foot Clan just looks so fake. And it just took me out of the movie. Anyway, so... So, does approval on Krang, yes or no?
No!
No. All right.
Oh,
Alright, so you would have rather had no Krang in the movie at all?
I was interested in what he was, but he was barely even in the movie when they introduced him. There was no introduction at all. He just kind of appeared. He was there.
Yeah.
No motive, no, yeah. Like, he just was, oh,
he's
I'm
like,
Krang, I know everything,
I'm coming to Earth.
Now we're friends, and I'm gonna have you to take over the world with me.
It was so sudden. Like,
yeah.
Just like the next thing they're talking about. No, not... Okay, the scene after it, it's like, where'd he go? I'm like...
Yeah, because you didn't see the teleporting thing coming. And then boom, and then he's in the scene.
Teleports, like... They're like, what happened? And then cuts right, he's like, hi, I'm Krang!
And they didn't even explain why Shredder knew who he was, or why he even wanted to help him, or anything.
And then eventually when the pieces of the Technodrome are coming through the portal at that very end, the turtles are on the computer, and then Donnie just, like, clicks on, like, a picture of the Technodrome.
The commander's
and
Krang!
And suddenly he knows, like, the technology is called the Technodrome, and that the commander is Krang. Like, how does he know all of this?
Because he hacked it. He's like, I am hacking it right now.
Okay.
Donatello obviously has the ability to hack anything.
Obviously.
This is some next level like watchdog stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, so like he can hack Baxter Stockman's email, he can hack the freaking Technodrome and just like know everything.
If he could hack the Technodrome, why couldn't he hack it to a
He can hack himself back into a human.
Hey, wait, guys, listen to this.
True.
Listen to this. He beat the Technodrome with a drone.
I'm done!
Alright. Anyway, so that Krang thing happened. Shredder's back, and then he's, like, threatening Baxter Stockman. And then what happens after that?
Who cares?
The thing is, I feel like it... A lot of things happen in this movie, but I wasn't very interested in what was happening. Like,
at all. I was waiting for the movie to start, and I felt like it never started.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. And that...
Yeah, like, at the end, I was like, okay, this is when it's really gonna happen. But I feel like the ending was one of the worst parts of the movie.
There was no sense of danger with Krang at all. He just, like, fought that. He, like, spinned around, and they're like, oh, man, what are we going to do? And then he was like, Mikey, get that beacon.
I like how you guys had to process the validity of what Brady was saying before you commented on it.
Well, yeah, and then they just killed Krang by, like, they all jumped on him.
I'll be back.
Don't mess with
no. Literally,
Mikey. They like ripped off his robotic
The only thing that Krang had was he could spin. He like had like the Zangief move where he spins his arms like in a circle, and they're like, "Oh, let's all just jump right where his arms are."
And then he kicked.
They're holding on to his arms. I'm too short for this ride.
Flies oh yeah, off. Yeah, yeah. Alright, so, okay, so, let's talk about, Bebop and Rocksteady mutating, and then April being there, and...
Yeah. So...
Why was April there at all?
The subplot I hated is when April and,
Yeah, why was she?
Casey got...
she was gonna...
Sorry, Brie, but she, like, Splinter or something, like, she found out about the ooze or muted... Yeah, why was she there?
I don't know. Whoever watched this, please like, comment or something. Tell us why she was there.
Michael Bay, if you're listening, please give us a 5-page email explaining this plot.
I feel like there was a reason. I just
We maybe just all missed it.
I don't remember it.
Okay.
It's not memorable.
I hate it when they're at the cops and they're like, we have footage of you at the office. And just...
But it's bebop, edited.
It's the animated Bebop and Rocksteady. Yeah, I don't know. So it's just her running in, taking the...
and then she's like...
That's actually like the raw footage before they animated everything in.
And then they just... Will Arnett grabs the actual footage, shows him, and then she just immediately let them go, right after she sees the video.
Yeah, okay. Even earlier, she had checked. She's like, oh, this is totally valid. We've already checked this out. This is real footage. And then, boom, case
out. Go.
And then they bring it in, and then Will Arnett's like, hey, I'm Vern the Falcon. Watch this. And then it's just like a really cartoony two things. And then she's like, well, I saw four turtles earlier today, so this must be real. And
no, they're like, she's like, oh, the police search all the video footage. And there's literally like a giant like box on the wall that Vernon opens and it has a hard drive in it with footage.
There's
on
not
it.
Even a key needed.
Yeah, he just opened it up.
And
I did think that was funny though.
Yeah, me
when
too.
When he's like, oh, it's a secret camera, and he pulls like
and it goes around the entire thing.
And it comes back right to where it was.
One of the two parts. I actually laughed at.
What was the other one?
See, it was the part when like Mikey broke the two arms off the the dump.
No, the best part was when he
okay.
Was,
wait, let's talk about the best part.
Grady liked this too. Yep. Me and Grady thought this was the best part of the movie when they finally meet Casey.
Yep.
And then Mikey is like introducing all the turtles, and there's like this game show music. Yep.
Okay, when I first heard the laughs from the game show, I thought that was actually someone in the back, and I looked back, and there's no laughing.
I thought that part was really funny.
I love that part. And I was like, all right, it's just going to get better from here. I'm like, they're going to have another elevator scene, kind of like last.
Yeah.
And then, no. But anyway, okay.
Elevator scene.
If we're going to move on to Bebop and Rocksteady, let's go to Brazil, huh?
It's like a plane.
All right, let's combine.
Let's talk about probably the worst scene I have ever seen in a big box movie. Or maybe not the worst scene, but just the worst, like, decision.
Remember Fan Force?
Well, the thing is, I feel like this fits the characters, though.
But that was literally, like, the most retarded thing.
No, but the thing is, literally, and there's a spoilers for Turtles Forever. But at the end of Turtles Forever, basically, it's this huge crossover where the 1987 Turtles, the 2003 Turtles, and the comic Turtles...
Oh, I remember
in
that.
...in an hour and a half show are all teaming up to fight, like, the ultimate Shredder, and he's about to kill them all. And the ones to kill Shredder by accident are Bebop and Rocksteady because they accidentally plug in an outlet that shoots a laser and kills Shredder.
I thought that was so funny, though.
Yeah.
Okay, like, so... No, hold on. Maybe as like someone who knows the Turtles, they would understand that more. But literally, that just embodied the whole movie. So basically, Rocksteady, just they're in a plane that is currently flying. He gets inside of a tank. And for no reason, just starts shooting the machine gun on top of the
I thought it was going to like... Like, the bullets are just gonna, like, just, like, bounce off, like, the interior. And, like, I was actually surprised that actually destroyed the plane.
And all of a sudden, they start shooting through the plane. They start plummeting down. And then he goes, Rocksteady! And he's like, oh, my bad. I just got carried away. I was like, are you kidding me? That's the reason the plane goes down? Like, just because you wanted... Oh, that was...
Well, the thing is about Bebop and Rocksteady, they just don't think things through before they do it, and you would think this Brazil scene happens right after the turtles all jump out of one plane and onto another. You think it can't get any more stupid or I guess yeah. Anyway, having a tank.
Oh yeah, come on, unrealistic for mutant turtles.
Yeah, I shouldn't say I don't care if things are unrealistic because I mean, they're giant turtles and giant rhinos.
And then why do you care that someone stupidly shot a plane out of the sky?
I got him. I
think that was the most random and, like, there was no point to that. Oh, but jumping out of a plane
isn't random.
It was just stupid.
Driving a tank in a river, shooting at turtles isn't random.
Like, the tank would have, like, immediately just sunk. Yeah, like, right. Somehow it floated
maybe it
all the
rock.
Way down
well,
the
it wasn't
waterfall.
That deep. But wait. Here's the thing. It wasn't that deep of a river. But somehow, the tank submerged all the way under the river and came back up.
Maybe there was like a little deep part.
Yeah, just one little deep part for the tank.
And then they were fighting for some reason, and then they got over it. Just like in Fantastic Four, when the Thing and Elastic Man or whatever, Mr. Fantastic, were like, Elastic hated each Man. Other. And then literally like 5 minutes later, they're best friends again.
Are you talking about Raphael and...
No, the whole team, when they're all like, when they're all on the
true.
Ship, and they're like, that was so
they
bad,
focus
and then they're
on
all
that
like, we're not all getting each other.
We're a ton!
Yeah.
And then when they find the police, and, okay, so basically, we'll get back, we're jumping around a lot, but basically when the Technodrome is coming, they're all, like, in the, first of all, they're in the sewers, just talking about, oh, who made this Technodrome? And instead, they don't go to stop it. And then they go to meet the police. And the police, like, literally the whole force is standing there by the turtles while alien spaceships are flying over their head. They're doing nothing.
They're just standing
and
staring at the turtles.
And they don't believe the turtles can help them at all.
And for some reason, like, if you go near the Technodrome as a human, you die.
And plus, how would a human get up there? Because...
it was floating.
Yeah. Okay, we haven't touched on this topic yet, but the purple ooze turns the turtles into humans.
Wait. We'll get there in a second. But
okay, no, we need to talk about
but
that.
But
we talk.
One thing is, like, they have... why didn't they have, like, planes shooting missiles or missiles or whatever at the...
That's too big of a budget, even though they have giant technodromes.
And then the thing is, like, they were arguing in the airplane back from Brazil, but then in the... at the police station, when they're talking to the police, all of a sudden they're like, man, we're family. We got... And they're like taking all this time, like they're doing like hands, like...
There wasn't an arc. It was just... Yeah. It was just down, and then somehow they were just like back up again.
Just like the first movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. And I feel like they had the same, like... I feel like the conflict at its core was a little bit better in this movie, but it was not resolved any better than the first movie at all. Mm-hmm. So anyway, we should talk about humans.
Yeah, the purple ooze, probably, like, one of the biggest parts of the movie we haven't even talked about yet.
And I don't know why it was purple, because it was green last movie, so...
Maybe it was, like, different... Well,
was that
we all know Crane gave it to him. This is alien green ooze. It's purple on my planet.
Oh, yeah, for some reason he had that, and he just, like,
took this, like,
take
care
of that.
Like, where did he get that, bro?
And then Baxter... What's his name?
Baxter Stockman.
Baxter literally has a machine that, like, extracts
like,
it perfectly.
Like, perfectly, like fits,
like...
The tube is in, like, the thing, and it perfectly grabs it, and it's like, oh, I can synthesize this thing in 2 seconds.
And then Shredder takes it. We need test subjects. Look at those two idiots. Bang, bang!
And gets them down. Okay.
That's how Bebop and Rocksteady are created.
Okay, so I want to say, Tucker leaned to me, like, when the turtles were discussing about becoming human or not, and he's like, did this happen in the comics? The answer is no, but in the animated series, one episode happened where I believe there were some cookies that the turtles could eat, and if they ate the cookies, they would turn human. I'm not sure if that's totally correct, but I know Michelangelo actually turned into a human in one episode, and that was quite interesting, and it wasn't even a good episode, but that seemed to be a major inspiration for this arc for a while. Yeah, Brady.
Okay. I actually really like the story arc for Michelangelo, how he wanted to, like, fit in with everyone else.
Yeah.
Like, how they went straight from the basketball game to, like, the Cinco de Mayo party or whatever. Yeah. Like, wait, what even was that for? I thought it was
Halloween!
Okay, it was Halloween?
For some
like,
reason,
I didn't
it was Halloween.
Okay, stop
it was Halloween.
For a second. Sit up! My God! How much of a retard are you?
Talking, wow. And then I just told Brady it was Halloween.
Anyway.
Okay, I just remember seeing it from the trailer, I'm like, Cinco de Mayo, okay.
It was themed Cinco de Mayo, but they said it was Halloween.
Okay. For a lot of the motivations of turning human, I feel like a lot wasn't described. Like, Donnie was like, hey, we can become humans again. And then Leo was like, no, don't tell anyone. And then it was left at that. Leo didn't tell why. And then Raph, at the very end, they're like, we could... you know what? This could give us an advantage. We could be the same on the inside, but look human on the outside if we drink this. And then that could give us the advantage in the fight.
Proceeds
and,
to destroy.
And Raph just takes it. And then he just chucks it at the wall.
No, because Leo was like, it's your choice, guys. Because I suck as a leader.
Like, even though that could have been useful in the future, he just, like, throws it at the wall. They could have, like, made a comedy line, like, after that. Like, Donatello, like, says, we could have used that. Like, that would have been funny.
No, TMNT 3, like, at the end, they're like, oh, there's only one thing to defeat it. They point towards the wall where he threw it.
It's just like a purple stain.
Get off the wall.
The thing I really, first of all, I hope that this isn't, I really hope another sequel doesn't come out. That's just my preference.
We had a threequel.
A threequel. Because, yeah, I'm not invested in this franchise, movie franchise, at all. So anyway, back to what we were just talking about. What did you want the turtles to become human, or did you want them to stay turtles?
We all. Okay. I did not want them to like at the end. I thought Michael Bay was going to do Michael Bay and turn them into humans. I was like, please, like it's been okay so far. This is just going to push it so far below.
What was your favorite action scene? Wait, let's talk a little about the end action scene. Alright, so the Technodrome's coming after the police thing. What's happening in the sky, David? Dan, did you like it?
Basically, if you've seen the first Avengers, you saw this scene. So,
true.
Basically, a portal is in the sky, a bunch of alien stuff comes out of it and forms the Technodrome, and Krang's like, ha! I'm the greatest! I'm the greatest, most powerful being in the universe. And then, yeah. Fight him, and it wasn't even that hard.
Yeah, I wasn't invested. I wasn't even that interested. Like, sometimes I zoned out. I was like, what's... I mean, I really like Ninja Turtles a lot. I zoned out. During their movie.
I can just see Grady in the theater. He's just, like, in deep in his seat, like, thinking his rethinking his life over. Like, should I just throw out all my Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle merchandise?
I just know, I know how big of a fan Grady is of Ninja Turtles. And right after the movie, I just, like, right when it's about to roll the credits, I just look at Grady. And you can just tell that he's about to cry. I just see the tears welling up in his eyes. And I felt so bad.
I just want it to be a good movie.
Like, seriously, you had, like, one or two things that could have been, like, really good if they developed it more and made it, like, interesting.
Yeah, exactly.
Visually, like, it was really colorful. It was, like, a kid would look at it and love it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're an adult or even a fan who's, like, older than...
I feel like even some kids will look at it and be like, hey, this isn't like the Nickelodeon cartoon, and be like,
yeah. Like, hey, even the Nick cartoon has, like, way better comedy and stuff than this.
Okay, I just thought of the biggest plot hole. Alright, so in the first movie, and I was thinking about this in the theater, but I forgot about it till now. In the first movie, they were being shot at all the time by the Foot Clan.
Yeah,
remember
at
the mansion? And, like, bullets were, like, bouncing off of them, they were doing fine, they were, like, jumping into the bullets... And then this episode, the police have them at
gunpoint.
I pretty much view this movie as an episode now because it's so crappy. Anyway.
Ooh. You heard it here first.
Anyway, in this movie, the police have them at gunpoint. And then, boom, the turtles, instead of, like, running away and maybe getting a few bullets hitting their shells or something, they just get on their knees and they're ready to surrender to the police.
Oh, yeah. So dumb.
Like,
and then Megaphone's just like, leave, get out of here.
Yeah.
And then like, for some reason, they, like, turn around and, like, kick the guns out of their hands, and then they'll just stare and watch them leap out the window, and then after they leave,
they
go out the window, then the police run and jump out the window and go chase them.
Okay, in that scene, Leonardo gets his, like, katana, hits the gun out of the police's hand. I thought he chopped off his hand. I'm like, whoa!
She's like, I thought that too. I thought it, like, was about to take a really dark turn.
What if, like, the first, like, half of the movie was crap, but then the end, like, justified everything and made it, like, super deep and super, like, complex, and, like, it was, like, an Inception ending. Oh, man, that would be awesome. That would be great.
Just imagine, like, people are, like, out of the shadows, just out of the crappiness.
So, basically, another main point of the movie was that, you know, It was the war between Leo and Raph. Yeah. And then one of the biggest parts was, like, what we were just talking about, like, when they were at the police station, what had happened was, like, they broke off into two separate groups, and then Raph was like, I want to be the leader now. Let's go, Mikey. And they...
Well, the thing is, Leonardo left them and was like, just stay here. And then just left. So dumb. I don't even remember where they went.
Yeah, that's right.
To the science museum.
Where are they going?
They were looking for the second piece of the Technodrome portal thing.
Yeah. Like, oh. And then they went back later.
Remember? Oh, that's right.
Yeah, they're on the train and like, help, we're stuck in the police station. Like, don't worry, we got you. We're not jump mad train at you.
Yeah, they don't even say, like, yeah, they don't even be like, why are you guys alone? Like, they're
like...
Like, it never comes back to bite Raph in the butt, because he, like, went against Leo's thing, and now the police know them, that they're there. Leo never even brings it up, even though Raph directly went against Leo's orders. And also, another plot hole, or not necessarily a plot hole, but just Bebop and Rocksteady being absolutely stupid, was when they went to Brazil and they found the third artifact or whatever for Krang, the third and final artifact. Basically, they take the tank at the thing they want to get, and it's like in a big rock, and basically they could like smash it with their hands or something and it'll like fall apart. But basically, they just take a tank and then shoot right directly. And for some reason, everything in that rock is destroyed except the one thing they want. And then they go home and take that.
And why are they leaving the two idiots to go find, like, the biggest piece to their plan? Like, why? I don't get that either.
Where did Shredder go? Wasn't he
he was just, like,
the
chilling
entire time?
He was just, like,
Shredder? Okay, what do you guys think of Shredder in this movie? As a sub-villain, pretty much.
In the first movie, people were complaining that he would look too much like a Transformer. So, obviously, the smart move would be bring it back a little bit, make it more grounded, make it more look like cool Shredder that's, like, only minimal but still ninja.
Yeah.
In this movie, they stripped him of everything. He looked like he was wearing a black shirt, black pants, and a cosplay Shredder helmet where you can see his eyes and, like, his eyebrows.
I feel like you never even got to, like, see him at, like, a full good potential.
There was no fighting.
They never fought. He was basically, he was like...
No, he showed his knives. He showed his wrist knives a couple times. He was like,
do this. Do that. And then, basically, that's pretty much all he did the whole movie.
Yeah, I feel like I hate saying
it. He was the messenger.
Yeah, thank you, Arukusaki. I always mess up when we're podcasting with the name. Anyway, Arukusaki has so much potential as a character, and he's so interesting. Mm-hmm. But they just made him just like some guy.
And I feel like that actor's really good too. He seemed like he knew what he was doing.
Yeah, one actor I didn't like though is Splinter. Like, I feel like Tony Shalhoub does his lines, I believe. He did it last movie. I feel like he phoned it in so much. Like, every time I listen to Splinter, it sounded like he was reading from a script. And that disappointed me. Also, a few cameos.
Splinter was barely even in the movie.
Yeah. He was more... I feel like he was more in the last one, wouldn't you agree?
Oh, way more.
Well, one thing I did like was, like, he was, like, meditating. He was like, you'll reach for a full nirvana in 5, 4. And I saw it coming a mile away, but I still thought it was hilarious. Like, the turtles coming in the last second. I thought that was awesome. Also, they had a few cameos. Well, they had one big cameo, which was Kevin Eastman, co-creator of the Ninja Turtles. He was the guy with the pizza. And they're like, and another one was from the first movie who played April O'Neil, and she was supposed to cameo in this. But she ended up not being in it. They cut her out in favor of what? I don't know. But anyway, that was one of the best April O'Neils in my mind, and that's kind of sad that they cut her out. So anyway, we asked the question, what is your favorite action sequence? I don't think we ever answered it. So, Brady?
Favorite action sequences?
Yep.
I'm going to be honest with you. It's probably Tucker's least favorite. The part when Bebop and Rocksteady and the Turtles are in the plane... Rocksteady gets in the tank, starts shooting at them, and the tank blows
the plane. The action was, like...
Done.
And in all movies that Michael Bay does, the action is really good, you know? But it doesn't really, like, fit with, like, what's going on.
I don't think there was that much action in this movie, though.
Yeah, no, I feel like there was a lot... Because the thing about the first movie was all about April O'Neil. That's why I'm
so happy they got rid of that.
That's why I like that this was... I thought this was much more turtle-centric movie. But the thing about this movie is, like, there was a lot of action sequences, but I feel like none really especially the last one, none really stood out the test of time, as you would say.
No, like, there was barely even any, that's what disappointed me, because I'll go into these movies where I know that there's going to be no story, I know they're going to be dumb, but I'm like, well, at least I can get some, it'll be like a good movie, like it'll be enjoyable to watch because of the action and stuff. But I felt like there wasn't very many.
Action in the first one was way better.
There was no. Well, they didn't even really fight.
When the final battle, like at the end of the last one, was like way better. Like when he had like Transformer Shredder and he was shooting knives at everybody.
It was more interesting. Or in Amazing
Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in the Amazing Spider-Man.
Wait a minute. Okay, teammate. The first one. The finale was basically Amazing Spider-Man.
Pretty much.
This movie was, the finale was The Avengers.
Yeah.
What if the next movie, the finale is like, X-Men Days of Future Past, like the girl like travel through time or something like that?
That could happen. It probably would.
It
probably going to come.
Brady's right. Like,
maybe like Dark Knight. Like,
Turtles in Time.
Shredder comes back, takes over the whole town, blows up all the bridges around it.
But that's, I wish
like the Technodrome actually would have like shot a few things. Like
I think it was about to shoot one thing, and then like
it was. But then like the turtles saved the day once again, last second. But I feel like everything always works out for them, and like no one ever dies, and it's just. I'm not saying I would need like blood massacre everywhere, but I'm just saying I feel like there's no stakes, even though they try to build up a bunch of stakes in this movie. Anyway, but my favorite action sequence, I believe. Out of like the Shredder escape scene, or like the Bebop and Rocksteady scene when they mutate, or the Bebop and Rocksteady scene in the airplane and then slash the river, and the end, my favorite was probably Bebop and Rocksteady in the airplane slash river. Mm-hmm. I feel like that stood out the most, and I feel like that was a lot like the snow scene in the other movie, and I like that. So David, did you say your favorite?
Yeah, it was definitely the airplane one.
Okay.
I think one thing that the snow scene in the first movie had that this one, the airplane scene, didn't have was momentum. Like, the snow scene started out slower and kept on getting faster and faster and got more momentum. Yeah. Well, this one started out with a lot of momentum with the jumping out of the plane.
Yeah.
And they started shooting at each other, fighting each other, gained a little momentum. Then they slowed down when they're falling, and they hit the river, slowed down. Then the tank comes, and it builds a little bit more momentum. And then all of a sudden, like, nothing happens. They just fall down the river.
So tell me, Brady, in this equation of momentum, do they at the end do they have a negative amount of momentum or a positive amount?
A confusing amount of momentum.
Okay, I understand that.
All right, Tucker, favorite action sequence?
That's the problem with this movie. I don't think I can have one because I really don't feel like the action was very underwhelming, as people would say, because I felt like. I could go into this movie. I was waiting for a big turtle slash rhino slash pig fight, and I didn't get any of that. I got there was like that one part in the plane, but that was barely anything because like they were focusing on the teleportation thing, mm-hmm. like them trying to like get it because Donnie grabbed it and was like running away with it, and he was like trying to scan it or something.
One thing about Donatello.
Yeah.
He looked like just like this scrawny dude in this one.
Yeah. Okay, that was okay, and his shell looked like he was like super ripped and everything. But he's like looked like some super anorexic turtle.
He did. He looked like really like just like really like skinny and gross compared to all the other ones.
Go ahead.
I felt like in this movie they try to fix mistakes from the first movie. Like, they look too buff, like they're on steroids. Okay, let's bring it back a little bit. But then they go the polar opposite and make some of them look too skinny. Like, make it look weird. Oh, Shredder's too Transformer-y? Let's strip him of everything, even his action.
Yeah.
Too much April O'Neil?
Overcompensation.
Yeah.
Do you guys think that overcompensation was a big, like, played a big role in this? Like,
yeah, definitely. I feel like they tried too much. I feel like if they would have just focused on getting Shredder right and made the whole movie about, like, Shredder, like, coming back with a vengeance and, like,
mm-hmm.
and it doesn't have to be, like, the city doesn't have to be in trouble every time.
What happened with, like, at the end of the last one, remember he had, like, the
ooze, he got some ooze. They never followed up with that.
I forgot about that completely, actually.
Basically, the turtles are all about small-scale stuff. And in the comics, they only go after Shredder because he killed one of Splinter's, like, really, one of his loved ones. And basically, they never get into a fight until someone involves them, and they're not like Batman. They don't go on patrol and save the city or anything. That's why I don't really like these, Michael Bay movies because everything's about saving the city and saving the blah, blah, blah. That's not what the Ninja Turtles at a core are about. They're not superheroes. They're just kind of pulled into situations whenever they're directly involved. But I just feel like these Michael Bay movies are getting the turtles wrong at their core and getting their motivations wrong. But anyway, this movie had a lot of problems with it. There was some good stuff in it, but it was far and few between, definitely. So let's go around and talk about our final thoughts about the movie. Tucker, you want to go first?
Sure. I thought that this movie got dangerously close to Fantastic Four level, where it just was very cheesy. And usually I don't mind cheesy if there's some good action to compensate, but really there wasn't that much action, so I was just kind of like, eh, that's it.
Boom. That's your final thoughts.
Yeah,
right.
Plebeian Fool writes an eh out of 10.
That's all you have to say.
Sorry, I'll give it a 5.5 out of 10.
Oh.
Watch it, but, I mean, don't buy it, but red box it, as they say. Enjoyable,
I mean, you can't buy
not
it.
A good movie. Enjoyable.
Brady, final thoughts?
Well, I'm still like very don't know how I feel about the movie as a whole. I just feel like there's a little bit of good, a lot of bad, and I'll give this movie 2 rotten pieces of pizza out of 5.
Oh, really? We just found out Muhammad Ali died while we were recording this episode.
Are you serious?
Really?
Yeah, I got an ESPN
notification. Okay, no, we're going to have a moment...
Moment of silence, everyone, for Muhammad Ali. Alright, we're back with Ninja Turtles discussion.
One of the greatest boxers of all time.
He is the greatest.
Was the greatest.
Should we just change this podcast to a Muhammad Ali podcast?
No, alright.
We're gonna
finish this one strong for Muhammad Ali. Alright, David, you ready to give your final thoughts on the movie?
Well, in the spirit of Muhammad Ali, I'm going to say that this movie was in my point of view, it was okay, you know. And if you have kids or something, take them to see it. But you know, I wouldn't suggest don't go see it in IMAX. You know, if you really want to see it in theaters, just see it like regular. You know, you don't really want to I wouldn't support the makers of the movie because you know.
Yeah, it just encourages them to make more crappy products.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like they said they were going to improve it this time, and they were going to listen to the feedback from the first one, but I actually think it was worse than the first one. However, I read online some people thought it was better than the first one. I guess if it's better, it's not much better. And I guess there are aspects that are better.
I think they just liked how campy it was compared to the first one, how depressingly serious it was.
The first one, you're saying?
Yeah, not depressing, but, how seriously it took itself. And this one didn't take himself that seriously. Like, they knew they were comics. They tried to have fun.
Yeah. Again, the overcompensation. But, yeah. Grady, what did you say? What do you think about it?
Final thoughts? Well, as I said earlier, I went in with super low expectations, and I still came out disappointed, which is saying something. So, I'm ultimately glad I saw it. However, people we saw it with did not necessarily feel the same. They felt it was more of a waste of their time than more of a game.
I wouldn't say a waste of my time, but I just didn't think it was a great movie.
Well, Brandon and Holden, two people who
aren't wait, can
us.
We say their names?
Well, we're too late.
Yeah,
you did. Leave it out.
Yeah, they didn't. They thought it was a waste of their time. Basically, I don't know. I really hope they reboot it. I would rather wait of 6 more years for a good movie than just see a new Ninja Turtle movie in 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I haven't even seen the first one since the theaters, and I'm probably not going to see this one for a long time too.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, they don't make you want to go back to see him, and that's kind of disappointing, especially when you care a lot about a franchise. So,
yeah.
All right, David, this is our final episode, so. Do you want to say anything to any of the people listening?
You know, we appreciate you all. And, you know, it's been a really real blast doing this. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, nowadays there's a lot more going on in our lives. Yeah. And as much as we would want to continue this, it's mm-hmm. not really in the schedule.
Yeah.
And another thing I'd like to say is that we're going to dedicate this podcast episode to the one, the only Muhammad Ali.
Mm-hmm.
The greatest boxer of all time.
Yeah. Also, I want to say, even though this may have been a downer last episode because it was about such a crappy movie, I want to say there's a lot of good things going on in the Ninja Turtles franchise right now, such as the comics. Check them out. They're really good, the IDW comics. There's the Nickelodeon TV show, which is, I really like the season so far with season 4. And let's see, there's a new video game coming out, which I've heard mixed reviews about, but it looks good to me. And there's other stuff. There's a variety of Ninja Turtle stuff. It's a great time to be a Turtle fan. And even though it's disappointing watching movies such as we saw today, it's still interesting talking about them and bonding mm-hmm. as friends as we sit around a mic at a table and mm-hmm. and yeah, it was a fun experience doing this podcast, and I learned a lot.
Yeah.
And I want to thank the people who listened, whether this is your first time listening or you've been listening since the beginning, such as people like Penelope Miller, you know. Yeah, so thank you for all who've been listening. We really appreciate you. Like, some shout outs are Penelope Miller, Josh Hammond, the Geno Show,
our fellow TMNT podcast runners.
Yeah, like, Turtle Soup yeah. podcast. Why am I forgetting them right now? Anyway, we also want to shout out the people we've interviewed. I'm looking up the other Ninja Turtles podcast right now. We also want to shout out the people we've interviewed, such as Rich the Collector Online. Mm-hmm. He's really awesome. I still use his site all the time. You should definitely check him out. Kevin Eastman even uses his site. And I'm in the wrong app. And also
Turtle Flakes.
Yeah, Turtle Flakes is one that we want to give a shout out to. One of my favorites is Turtle Soup. And they're like covering all the Ninja Turtles. Everything that's
coming. They're on everything.
Yeah, man. From the start. And they're really dedicated and they're really fun to listen to. There's, of course, us, Sewer Sirens Podcast. There's also a few other ones. Just search them up on YouTube. Not YouTube. Man, it's getting light. There's the Ninja Turtle Power Hour. Boom. There's that. There's just a lot.
There's so many good podcasts. Yeah. And even with us leaving, like, there's so much more good content out there. Yeah, and so if you like us, we would just suggest listening to them. Yep. You know, help them out.
Yeah, invest your time in them. And also check out Adam Lux and Andrew Fargo, two people we have also interviewed. And just keep on loving your fandom. And if this is something, even if you like the Michael Bay movie, and you're one of those people who gave the movie an 8 out of 10 on IMDb, you're entitled to your opinion, and you're not necessarily wrong. It's just we don't necessarily agree with you. Maybe the two of us wanted two separate things out of this movie, and that's all right. Mm-hmm. So we thank you for listening to us argue against the movie. Oh, there's Michael Bay again. Finally. So thank you for listening to us. We hope we gave you a valuable insight on it. So how do you want to go out? Oh, okay, so the credits. Last time they had Shell Shocked, and that was super awesome. This year they had a really stupid version of the theme song.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you would have liked that.
Yeah. Actually, I'm not going to lie. I watched the review like right after I got out of the movie.
Yeah.
And at the end of the review, he's like, best end credit songs ever.
All right. So, well, I don't know. Maybe I was just trying to recover from the movie, but it wasn't as impactful for me as Shell Shocked was. So, how do you want to end this final episode for us, David?
I don't know how else we could go out, but with a remix of the.
All right. This is a little throwback. So if you go back to a few episodes, I mean, we've only had a few episodes, a handful of episodes, but if you go back and you've listened through all of them, you know David has some iconic weird sounds that have been put in the bloopers, because randomly when I either walk away from the mic or I'm talking and he just randomly inserted himself in, he had some awesome feedback with his voice. So I think we're going to do a dedication to David Tafoya's awesome sounding sounds, and let him take us out with some awesome Ninja Turtle related mouth noises. Cowabunga.
Turtle power for the last
oh,
time.
Oh, yeah, and then they have
oh,
the
that
turtle
was
power.
Funny. I laughed at that
yeah,
part.
Garbage can. Garbage truck. And they're like, what the?
They're like, garbage.
But, yeah, for the last time, you know, cowabunga, turtle power, all those fancy sayings. Yeah. And we love you all.
Yep.
Thanks for the great experiences. And, you know, you want to follow up with contact information? Or?
Oh, yeah, you can. Thank you. You can follow us at Sewer Sirens on Twitter, at Sewer Sirens. That's pretty simple. You can email us at sewersirenspodcast@hotmail.com. You can find us on Podomatic. You can follow David at on Twitter.
Mick Zyro.
MCXYRO. He changed it, just so you know. And you can, is the same thing for Instagram? Can you check it out on Instagram?
It should be the original Zyro.
All right, and also, me, David, Tucker, and I are all in a movie, of Brady's, and so I might be posting a trailer on the Twitter account, so if you want to see a trailer for that, you can. And so, yeah, it's going to be an awesome time. We thank you for listening, and have a great life.
Have a great one, everybody. Bye!
Bye. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Out of the Shadow Review. Oh, man. How much on a level from 1 to 10 would... Not 1 to 10.
1 to
10.
On a level from 1 to table, how would you rate this?
I give it 3 out of 29,000 tables. Maybe 24.
You're right.
Right. You're not wrong on that one. Anyway.
You're allowed to laugh, Tucker.
Okay,
oh, that's going to hurt your ears.
Shout out.
Shout out.
Look at these IMBD reviews. 8 out of 10, 8 out of 10, 10 out of 10, 8 out of 10 for the Ninja Turtle movie. Yes.
What do you?
I feel like I don't know. I've had some suspicions that maybe people are getting paid to review a movie good or not. So I'm a little bit skeptical on IMDb reviews.
So you didn't watch it religiously?
No. You guys do.
It's our religion, Brady. Okay.
Can I join?
No.
That's what the M's for in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. TMNT. Teenage Moldy Ninja Turtles. Let me see if I can imitate it again.
Okay, here we go.
Here we go.
Turtles.
That wasn't it. No.
Oh, there was Demon again.
Michael Bay, don't make fun of me.
Okay, ready?
I remember you from the first movie. You're working with them turtles. Get out of my sight.
Yeah, but...
Baxter wasn't in the first one, first of all, and the turtles weren't known to the public, second of all. Anyway,
oh, yeah,
continue.
That's true.
Okay.
Sorry.
But
so stupid.
You're not stupid. Anyway,
continue. No, he would.
Oh, well.
Like, I'm
you
afraid.
Just start
okay,
roasting
no,
yourself.
I'm afraid of you guys roasting me, so I'm like, gotta beat him to it.
Alright, well,
okay.
We're not gonna roast you, but go ahead.
Take it out. Cut it out.
Brady, if you want, Brady, okay. All right, Brady.
So I'll keep this going. So
no,
keep going.
Hold on. Just pause for a second, Brady. You trail on for too long.
I definitely
okay?
trail on.
You just need to
yeah,
say what you're thinking and try not to joke about it at the end.
We're at 46 minutes right now.
I'm not gonna say it doesn't work, but it doesn't work.
It doesn't work. I know.
So you just need to say what you're thinking normally, and then just cut it there. I'm not trying to be mean or anything. That's just.
What the heck is this?
As Michael Scott
and
says.
Tucker, look at you're like no. I say look here, and you talk like this, and you look at the microphone. He looks at the microphone and talks off into the distance.
Sorry. Okay. Yeah. I'm ready. Go ahead.
Okay.
When he's looking over
the microphone, I'm not talking to the microphone. Talk to us.
Okay. No. Just look at the microphone the entire time.
Natural.
Don't lift your
it's
eyes.
It's not human.
Just think of it.
You're looking at a wall. Is that human?
Not human.
No,
okay. Let's go. Let's keep this going. All right.
Okay.
Go ahead then.
Just imagine Human, wait no, Teenage Mutant Human Tur.
Ninja
Turtles. Not even gonna try your time. Human Turtles. No, they're like, it doesn't like fully transform. It only halfway transforms them. So
teenage human.
Ninja humans.
No, teenage ninja human.
Teenage mutant ninja human.
Teenage normal mutant.
Go, Ninja, go!